Dear Father, we ask you to bless us and to speak to us. Speak to my own heart, Lord. May we hear thy voice. And oh, may we ask each one of ourselves the question, is my light switched on? In Jesus' name, amen. Now the subject for today is the light switched on, or the light turned on. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow, in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Acts 26 verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, and sanctified means set apart, purified, by faith that is in me, says the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 42:16, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Ephesians 5 verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. John 9 verse 5, I am the light of the world. Matthew 5 verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Wherefore he saith unto them in Ephesians 4:17, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The last verse, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Now imagine if I took, there was a cupboard here, and I took a candle out of the cupboard and I put it here. A candle was on the stand. It had the wax in place. There's a taper at the top of the candle. Everything about that candle is there. And this room was pitch dark. Pitch dark. And I left the candle here, and the room is still dark, and nothing changes. Can somebody tell me what's wrong with that candle? Yes?
You've got to light it.
Yeah, it hasn't been switched on. Well, I might say, all right, let me take this beautiful antique lamp. And I put the antique lamp here in the dark room, closing my eyes and not really seeing very well. But I put the antique lamp there, and it's full of oil, and it's got a lovely wick, and I've cleaned the glass. Is it going to make a difference? What has to happen? It has to be lighted. Now, from the beginning of time, the primitive people had a piece of wood that they held before them to walk through the forest. That piece of wood had to be lighted. If it was an old oil lamp, it had to be lighted. Only as the object, the lamp, the light, the candle, gets lit, can it give light and can it dispel the darkness. And in the same way, we need to be set alight. We are dead until Christ comes with his light and he sets us alight. We are dead. We cannot fight against sin. We cannot be what we should be until we are set alight. The candle stood within the room, so tiny in the dark. The matches were beside it. No one had lit a spark. Nothing changed, for that candle just stood upon the stand. It was not lighted. No one had taken match in hand. So many people are good, trying to take their place on this stand of religion with serious, pious face. But they are dead and lifeless, a source of light in name, the darkness unabated, no sign of any flame. They can't dispel the dark gloom of sin within their soul, for Christ has not redeemed them. They have not been made whole. They are just like a candle that is not set alight. Until they are ignited, they cannot change their plight. We need God to set us alight. Ignition is essential. Now, a candle can say, oh, well, I'm a candle. I'm not a chair. A chair can't do anything to a dark room. Can a chair do anything to a dark room? I'm better than a pencil. I'm better than a book. I am a candle. But a candle is as bad as any of those things unless it is set alight. And so we have to realize that I am in darkness and I need God to set me alight. Remember the Pharisee in the temple? He was so happy with himself. He felt he was a big, big, bright light. And he looked with disdain at that Pharisee in the temple and he said, look at that man. He's so much worse than I am. Look at the sins that he's done. He's evil. But look at me. I'm a Pharisee. I am a candle, in other words. So what does it say in the Bible? It said, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you I'm not as other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, we might feel, well, we are so much better than other people that we know of. They murdered, they stole, they've done terrible things that I have not done, and therefore I am a candle. But you might be a candle, but you haven't been set alight. We have to realize that our soul is dead. Everybody's soul is dead. There's not the smallest spark of life unless Christ has ignited it. You may think of yourself as a torch and a candle and a light in comparison to others, but God asks you today, are you set alight? Self-satisfied, you're better than many around you, therefore highly complacent with all you are and do. You do not seem to realize your light is not switched on. You have not pled for mercy, redemption in God's Son. When you listen, you might say, oh, well, that's for that person or that person, not for me. For he, the light to come in, illuminate your heart, deal with your sin and darkness, his very life impart. You have to see yourself as a candle, not a light. Seek God to put the light on. Put your darkness to flight. Now compared and in great contrast to the self-righteous Pharisee, who went home unjustified, unpardoned, unforgiven, the publican knew he was a sinner. He knew his heart was dark. He knew he had a need. He was dead in his sins, and he desperately needed God's light to be ignited. And so what did he do? He called on God. Remember I said yesterday, it's like the man who grasped the rope that was drowning in the sea. He called on God, and God says the light entered his soul. He knew he was a sinner under God's great searchlight. Repentant, he confessed it, his life so far from right. God reached out to this sinner, accepted his great plea, justified, liberated from darkness, truly free. God shows us our dead state. He shows us that the light is not switched on. In different ways, it's as if the Lord Jesus comes to us with a lighted match and he says, I want to set you alight. He makes us aware of our sins, our shortcomings, the things we do even behind closed doors in secret. He knows about it. He shows us our need of intervention and the need to be set alight. Christ suffered on the cruel cross to free us from our sin. Humble, he lived amongst us, our stubborn hearts to win. He shone as an example, a light before men's eyes. Despite their vile treatment, hypocrisy and lies, he whispers in our heart that he can set us alight. Help us to be a witness, to walk with him aright. But we need to allow him to cleanse, redeem our soul, to rid us of the darkness, restore and make us whole, so that we will not be just a candle without light, but through his grace and mercy, a candle shining bright. Can you recall the moment your own light was switched on? It is if there was not a moment, the darkness has not gone. Don't be a useless candle that stands without a light. Let Christ save you and let you be always shining bright. How sad if you remain a candle that is not lighted in a world filled with darkness. Now, Moody was preaching one day, and he preached, and he made a lady very angry in the congregation, because what he said was, none in this congregation will be saved until they stop trying to save themselves. Now, this lady at the end of the service came down from the gallery, and she accosted Mr. Moody, and she said, you have made me perfectly miserable. Mr. Moody, she said, I've always thought that if I kept on trying and trying and trying and trying, God would save me sometime. Now you tell me to stop trying. What am I to do? So what did Moody say to her? He said, let the Lord save you. It is only God who can set our candle alight, who can rid us of our sin, who can cleanse us. The effort of the lady to save herself was futile. It would never work. She would never make the grade. We can never be as holy as the Lord Jesus is. That's why we need Him to cleanse out the darkness and fill us with His holiness, to fill us with Himself. The little candle will not shine unless it is lighted. We will not be saved unless we are set alight and we come alive spiritually. God, when He saves us, comes and lives in us, and He is the light. And that's why when this light is in us, He shines through us. And that's why He says, I am the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Imagine if a candle should toss her taper head and say, no need to light me. How dare you say I'm dead? Are you perhaps that candle? Religious, so correct. You even thought a Christian, treated with great respect. But you were never lighted. No spark or kindling flame. No life. Therefore you're really a Christian, but in name. Now, I've often spoken about my nephew, and if ever I can think of an example of somebody who was dead, and somebody it was a light, it was him. Because he lived with us in the home. And while he was with us, when we spoke about the Bible, I mean, the questions he asked, the comments he had, there was just no life. He just didn't understand anything until the Lord Jesus came and he saved him. It was as if something came alive. And suddenly he asked the right questions. He made the right decisions. It was as if he was alive. Now, I've told you before, my mother, who was paralyzed for 2 years with cancer, but when she was, the cancer was in her spine and through the spine, and they couldn't get all the cancer out, so they radiation, chemotherapy and everything, but what happened is the connection between her brain, you know, the connection was gone. And so the doctor said she'd never walk again. She felt she would walk again. And one of the pictures I have of my mother is my brother made 2 rails. And for 2 years she hung onto the rails because she didn't have any strength. And her legs were just hanging. And she'd say to them, walk, legs, walk. But she'd just hang. There was no life. There was no connection. It wouldn't work. You know, and she'd even pray, please help me walk, walk. But those legs didn't listen until one day life came. The connection was there. And suddenly when she said walk, she was able to eventually, very slowly, on the road to recovery, her legs became alive again. There was life that flowed through us. And it's the greatest miracle to see, even if she walks a bit like this, it's just wonderful to see her walking, because I know for 2 years those legs were dead. And the same way, we want to walk as Christians. We want to be a light as Christians. We want to not stumble and fall continually. We want to be alive. But it's God that has to have the connection. See, it's just the same as if I walk into the room, I switch. If this was dark, I switch the light on. What does the light switch do? The source of electricity flows through the lights and it comes through. And so when God comes into our life, His power surges through us and helps us to be victorious over sin and to be able to shine in a dark world. But we have to realize that we need to be switched on. We have to realize that we are in darkness, that we need the Lord Jesus to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from the darkness, to let His forgiveness, His cleansing blood, and His mercy flood our soul and illuminate us. Until He's done that, we will remain unlighted. We will not shine. Now, George Blaker in Love Wins, he realized he was a sinner. He was accountable to God. He was in England, the East End of London. He was a carpenter by trade, and through the influence of friends and everything, he used to visit what they call the taverns, like the barns. And you know what that means? He'd drink, and he really became a drunkard. Now, we might think, oh, that's a sin. I have no association with that. But if we do things on the internet that we shouldn't do, if we do things on our cell phones that we shouldn't do, if we watch films that we know God's smile does not rest upon us, it's just as evil as the drink and the other sins, the drugs and things that people get involved in. So he was a slave of sin. And his wife pled with him and said to him, please stop doing that. Why can't you just stop and be a decent husband? And he loved his wife, so he tried again and again to escape the snare of drink. Just like if we're addicted to pornography or the wrong things, we try and not do it. We might even put our cell phone in a safe place. I've known of young people that throw their cell phone down and smash it because it's as if they're addicted to what it shows them. But then what happens? They go and get another cell phone and they're back pulled into this whole world again. And so that just shows how powerless we are. Like my mom holding onto the rails and saying, walk, 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 but she couldn't walk. So in the same way, we need God's deliverance. Well, anyway, he was one day terribly thirsty, and he suddenly felt in his pockets, but he didn't have a penny in his pockets, and he was very angry. So he went into the tavern to just have the light of the tavern and to light his pipe. But when he tried to light his pipe, he pulled out a paper, the tobacco, and a paper came out. And as he held the paper up, he suddenly saw these words, God. Well, he stood still, God. And he walked outside and he opened the paper. And you know what it said? What we're doing in the booklet? Thou, God, seest me. And what a shock it was. Suddenly he realized all he did was under the searchlight of God. God knew all about him. Just like God knows all about what you do. Your parents might not know, your friends might not know, your brothers and sisters might not know, but God knows every detail of where you are and what you do. And he was under such conviction, and he opened the paper further, and you know what it was? It was a little tract that his wife had put in his pocket with a prayer. And when he read the tract, he eventually came to this verse, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3 verse 15. And when he read that, 16. So when he read that, he was under such conviction of sin that he fell down on his knees and he asked God to save him. And you know, right there, God set him alight. He switched the light on. And so he got home and he crept into the house. And guess what he heard when he came into the house? There his wife was on her knees praying, oh, Lord, please have mercy on my husband. Please do the miracle that I just don't know how you're going to do it, but please, I'm praying, I'm calling, I'm needy, I'm weeping. And she finished her prayer, and as she finished her prayer, he had silently come and knelt next to her. And as she said, amen, he said, amen. she couldn't believe it. Now, the light had not only come into his soul, but the light had come into that very home. It shone. So it was marvelous. And that's what God can do for us. It doesn't matter what sin. We might think our sins are small, but they are not small in God's eyes. Sin is sin to God. If we tell lies, it's sin. If we've taken little things that aren't our own, even stealing time on a telephone at work, which we're not allowed to do. There are all these little things. God sees it. We're under the searchlight of God. And He wants to rid us of the darkness and fill us with His light. There was a poor blind man who stood in City Road in London. And part of the road of City Road is over a canal. And that's where the blind man stood. And he was reading out of, Moody calls it an embossed Bible, but I would call it a Braille Bible. It's a nice, and anyway, he was reading this a Bible. And around the man was a whole lot of people, loiterers, that didn't have anything better to do, so they were sort of standing and listening and perhaps mocking. And a businessman was walking home from work, very busy and thinking about his business, and suddenly saw, well, there's a whole group of people around this blind man. I wonder what they're listening to. And as he sort of took a little bit longer and slower as he went past, now this blind man had missed his place in the Braille Bible. And so he was trying to find the place with his fingers, you know, they feel the, and as he was trying to find his place, he repeated the last words that he had said, and the last words he had said was, none other name, none other name, none other name, as he's searching. And so that's what the businessman heard when he was slowly passing by, but he couldn't get these words out of his brain, none other name, none other name. And these words hounded him, they followed him until he surrendered himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that can save us from our sins, that can cleanse us and set us alight. And he became a blazing light for the Lord Jesus Christ in the business world. The words repeated by this blind man were very important, because there is none other name that can save us from our sin. Remember the woman who tried to better herself, and she thought, if I become better and better and better, then I'll be right. That won't help us. It's only the Lord Jesus that has to come into our lives as the light and set us alight and rid us of sin. Nothing we do ourselves can save us. There's none other name that can save you. Only the Lord Jesus can switch the light on and rid you from your darkness. But we have to repent, like that Pharisee that says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. We have to admit, swallow our pride and say, listen here, I've been posing as a Christian, but in God's eyes, under his searchlight, I have not been lighted yet. None other name so haunting to that man passing by. Surely the statement narrow, not true, his inward cry. But God's word made that statement, and God's word must be true. Uneasy, sleepless, worried, what was this man to do? Conviction made the darkness of sin too great to bear. Repentantly he sought God in sorrow and despair. The light of God had flooded his being, body, soul, for Christ, the only Savior, had come to make him whole. Now, I'm sure your torches are the same as ours in South Africa. A torch usually has batteries, doesn't it? It has batteries inside. Now, our torches usually have two batteries in. The one I've got upstairs has only got one. But what does the battery have? It has two sides. What is the one side? It's a positive side and a negative side. Now, the positive side has to be in the place where the positive side must go, and the negative must be on the negative side of the torch. It has to fit in correctly. And if the positive is in the negative side and the negative is in the positive side, will the light switch on? No, it won't. It won't go on. They both have to be in place. Now, I would think of the negative side of us as a light or a torch for the Lord Jesus Christ. The negative side is the side of repentance, the need to turn our backs to sin. It says in Acts 3:19, repent ye and be ye converted, that your sins may be blotted out. We have to acknowledge, like that publican, that we are sinners, that we are lost in darkness. If we say we have no sin, we all know the verse, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1 verse 8. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us, or the word, his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the negative side, acknowledging that we are sinful. But accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior is the positive side. What verse did we learn today? But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That is, that believe? Yeah, that's it. Even, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's the positive side, when Christ comes in and illuminates our soul. But to keep the torch burning, have you ever had a torch where it's the batteries get a bit loose? What happens to the torch? It doesn't stay bright, hey? It goes off, or it doesn't work as it should work. And so we not only have to initially repent and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have to keep those batteries in place. And these are the things that we have to keep in place. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Romans 12 verse 9. We can't go near things that are even have the appearance of evil. We might say, they're not bad. They don't affect me. I know they are wrong. But God says we mustn't even go near the things that appear wrong. We have to be so careful to keep our negative in place. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We should hate everything that is anything in any way against God's will. Proverbs 8 verse 13. Then in 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience and meekness. That's again the positive side. I might have told you before about the man who was wanting to hire a chauffeur. And he took three young men on a ride. And the first one says, you know what? I am such a good driver that when we ride on this pass, he said, I can go within a foot of the edge of the pass. And I can go quite fast and I will get you safely to the other side. So the man said, before we get in, I've already tested you. Then he had the next one. He said, well, I can go within an inch of the edge of the pass and I can go fast and I'll get you to the other side. So the last one said, you know, sir, I'm not as good a man as these are. I drive as far as I can from the edge of the pass. He said, I'll hire you. So in the same way as the Christians, we sometimes think we can go as near to the edge of what is wrong and still be safe and get to the other side, which is heaven. But what does God want us to do? He wants us to flee these things. We can say, oh, well, it's not really that bad. You know that, you know, this film or this internet site or this whatever, or this chat room, it's not really that bad. I can handle it. I'm strong enough to handle it. It's not going to affect me. But what does God say we must do? Must we go near it? No, we've got to stay far away. We've got to run. Now, I can have the negative in place, like that lady who kept on trying, and I can have the positive in place, but what has to happen? The switch has to be turned on, and there has to be a divine moment in our lives that we can point back to where the light has been switched on. Now, there was a minister, and he was asked by his parishes to preach on conversion. They said, Minister, you've never preached on conversion. Why don't you do it this Sunday? So he said, oh, conversion, that is an easy subject. Thank you for giving me the subject for next Sunday. I am going to enjoy preparing it. So he went to his house and he went into his office and he said, conversion. All right, let's think. Let's give it three headings. A good preacher usually has three headings. And he says, well, first of all, what is conversion? How does it take place? And he started thinking, well, you turn from sin to God. It's a change of heart. How can I describe conversion? How did it happen to me? Oops, wait. Let's just pass over this point. I think I'll go to the number two. So then he says, well, the next point a person should speak about is, when did conversion take place? He said, well, it can take place as a child. I was seven when I was converted. It could take place as a teenager, a young adult, a mature adult, a very old adult. My granny was 71, one of my grannies. Any of these stages, it can happen. And then his thoughts race back like a reel that goes backwards in time. And he said, when was I converted? As a child? Mm-mm. As a youth? No. I'm quite mature already. No, I can't remember the point. Recently, oops. He said, no, but I'm going to, let's just skip. I can come back to point one and two. Let me move on to point three. Then he said, well, usually there is a place where conversion takes place. It could happen at Sunday school. It could happen at church. Paul was on the road, the Damascus road. Isn't that right? When he got converted. The Philippian jailer was in prison when he was converted. The Samaritan woman was at a well. Nicodemus was up a tree. It could happen in the home. It could happen at a camp like this, where I'm converted when the light is turned on. But the disturbing thought came to the minister, where was I converted? Where? What was the place? And with tremendous power, the realization came to him as a minister with conviction that the light had never been turned on. He was not truly converted. While preaching to others, he had not been reached himself. And you know, he was honest enough to repent and get on his knees before God and humbly ask him, like that publican, to save him. And when he stood up in church this Sunday, he said, I was asked to preach on conversion, but I want to testify that only last Sunday, in my office, as I prepared, I came to the realization that I've never been converted. I've never turned from sin to righteousness. I've been saved, and I want every one of you to also seek God for your salvation. How strange if you should not know the day Christ saved your soul, when your sins were forgiven, your broken life made whole. For such a transformation to happen, you should know. A new creation surely cannot unnoticed go. Like a baby being born, you can't say, oh, the baby just popped into our household. When I looked there, the baby was in the cot. Because conversion is being born again, you know, a new birth. Do you recall when you passed from darkness into light? When you rejoiced that you were forgiven in God's sight? The place where God convicted you of your desperate need, where you claimed that Christ's death would for your redemption plea? How strange. You should not know the day Christ saved your soul. When your sins were forgiven, your broken life made whole. Now we need to ask ourselves the same questions. Let us reel, as we sit here, reel the video backwards on our life. Go backwards in your life and ask yourself them, as the minister did, as you go past the scenes and the stages in your life, how was I saved? When was I saved? Where can I point to? Can we with confidence point to the place where it happened? Where I turned from darkness to light? Where I was converted? When I turned from sin to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? When He indwelled me with His light? In your childhood, in your teenager, or perhaps an older adult? My dad says he can stand in the church and he can point to the bench where Christ saved his soul. I was a little girl of about 7. I can describe the bed next to which I knelt and where I found the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Spurgeon was a young man in a service where he suddenly accepted Christ as his Savior and looked to the cross in faith. Where did it happen to you? That is the question I'm asking you tonight. Has the light been switched on, or has it never, ever been switched on? God calls us to repentance, our sin dark in His sight, but God in His great mercy beams on us in our plight. Yet so many pretend that the darkness is not there. They stumble on so blindly, they do not really care that they are heading downwards upon their path to hell. They do not see, thus heedless, they pretend all is well. Their danger ever looming, their doom still drawing near, no light to see their danger, therefore they have no fear. But from the heavens comes such a cry to stem their course. Repent, repent, O sinner, seek God in deep remorse, for you awaits the moment when your light is switched on. He is the only person to do this, God's own Son. The question you must answer tonight, is my light on? What does your faith refer to? What does it rest upon? Amen.